Oh, hello, Sunday Night's Main Event listeners. Jason Agnew here, and this is a special free sample of the Midweek Markout podcast. This is hosted by myself and Mark Andrade, and is a lot more casual than what we do on our Sunday show. This one goes up every Tuesday morning, where Mark and I review Raw, and along with that, talk about our pop culture pandemic lifestyles. This one dives pretty deep into the world of Cobra Kai, and we also talk some Star Wars, because both of those things are a lot more fun to escape to than the world of wrestling recently. At least the world of Raw, because this is a review of the Legends Night from Monday Night Raw, and whoosh, well, let's just get into it. Oh, and by the way, if you do like what you're hearing here, do like the casual chat, then by all means, sign up for our Patreon. You get this show, you get an NXT review, you get a Dynamite review each and every week, and it's for less than a dollar. Patreon.com/SNMEradio. Everything's good. Everything's okay.
Everything's fine.
Everything's good.
Everything's fine.
We figured this out. That took 8 minutes. And 8 minutes of our lives that we'll never get back, but that's okay.
But we spent it together.
We did. We spent it together. We've been spending a lot of time together. Not physically. But just on the Zooming when we had our big Zoom this past weekend.
Yep. Yeah. You sound very happy about spending time with me, Jason.
I love spending time with you. Honestly, you know what? This is, I texted you today when I finished watching Raw. And said, why the fuck do we watch this show every week? Sorry for the potty mouth, friends. But I was like, what? I watched this last night. I'm just like, just shaking my head pretty much the entire time. And I thought the highlight of watching Raw every week is then finishing it. And then an hour later, getting to talk to you.
Yeah.
It's just cathartic. And I believe it's pretty much cathartic for all of our listeners. I mean, I think that I wonder how many of the listeners to this, because, you know, we got just over 250 patrons, like how many of those people out there don't watch Raw, but just listen to us the next day and then maybe go back and find stuff if there's anything we say is decent.
Right. If there's anything worth watching, for goodness sakes.
Yeah. Which is
rare.
Rare.
It happens.
We consciously have to watch this show and go, okay, hold on. Here's a moment that does make sense and is good. And I think that happened, I think we get that twice tonight or last night. We got two of those, I think. And then everything else is just like, what are you doing? What are you doing? What are you doing?
Yeah. Yeah. It wasn't great, hey? Wasn't a good one.
And it had every reason to be a good one.
Really?
You don't think? I mean, there's if you go towards, you know, the nostalgia. I mean, it's more so nostalgia for the common fan. And then they bring these guys back and we'll get there through the show. Other than that, how are you? How is your life going? How is your Sunday night into Monday?
Well, I watched Wrestle Kingdom.
Oh.
But I did not watch night two. So tell me nothing if you know something that happens. I stay away. I fell asleep. I didn't fall asleep, but I was getting tired during night one.
Yeah.
And tired's the wrong word. Sleepy is for sure the right word, though. Yeah. And
it starts at what, 4 a.m?
Pre-show started at 2.
Okay.
Like the Battle Royal, the Rambo or whatever started at 2.
Yeah. I heard that was terrible.
Yeah, I mean, whatever. It was fine. I liked it. You know what I mean?
They finally did the finish where, so it's the last four guys in, what's it called, the Rambo?
Yes.
The last four guys in it are going to have a match the next night.
The next night, yeah.
And they did that finish that everyone has talked about forever for the Royal Rumble, where when number 30 comes out, they just win.
Yes.
So number whatever, the last guy comes out, and there's only three guys remaining in the ring, so he's automatically in the match tomorrow.
Yes, yes. And of course, the perfect guy for that was Yano.
Right. So that means that match will all be it'll be primarily a comedy match, right?
I mean, if Yano's in it, there's going to be definitely comedy elements.
Yeah, yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Like the guys
pull out the tape and tape people's legs down for the pin.
I like Yano. Everybody's like, Yano's stupid, and it's like, but you're talking to the wrong guy. I mean, I also like R-Truth in the 24/7 title. Yeah. So I think Yano's funny. The look on his face as he came to the ring and he realized that he won, he like didn't know whether he should keep walking or not. Like he was just like, so do I just leave? Or it's very funny.
Well, this is what there is not. It's there's been a suggestion, dare I say. Someone thought about the idea that if that finish were to be done in the Royal Rumble, then who's the perfect person to do it with?
R-Truth?
Think about it.
Who?
No. No, you can't do it with R-Truth.
I know, you can't do it with R-Truth. I was making a joke. I don't know. I have no idea who.
Lana.
Oh, the Women's Royal Rumble. Yeah. Yeah, I could see it. Do you think that'll happen?
I hope not. No.
That'll ruin WrestleMania for a lot of people.
Yeah, I mean, I still think we're on track for Charlotte Asuka, and that means Charlotte's going to win it again. I don't like that. Generally, I don't like when people win it back-to-back.
You don't think, I think it's possible that Charlotte wins it and goes after the other title, whoever happens to have it at the
Sasha,
time.
At the moment, Sasha.
I don't think. You don't think so? And then she can have a belt and Asuka can have the belt and then she can get hungry and go to want to unify the women's titles?
Okay, actually, hold on. That's not a bad idea. If you remember back to Charlotte's win last year, Charlotte came out on, I don't know, Raw or SmackDown or whatever, and said, I've won the women's title on Raw. I was the first champion. I've won the SmackDown title. I've done it all. And then Rhea Ripley came out and said, come beat me or something like that, which was completely backwards. But she said she's tired of winning those titles over and over again. So what if she wins and challenges both?
Yeah, right? Then she has both titles. And then maybe she even goes over to NXT. And then
no,
Rhea, Ripley gets, Rhea Ripley gets her win back when she wins the triple titles.
Someone wrote on the board. I don't remember who it was. It might have been Blaine because he doesn't stop writing on the board. Talked about saying that Rhea Ripley salvageable. He said he didn't like your pick because Rhea Ripley is salvageable.
Great. I never said she wasn't salvageable.
Yeah, I know. Like, it's just
like all I said was she was on a real uptick and now she's not. That's all I said.
Yeah.
Anyway, everybody's salvageable. You could bring the Big Show back and salvage him if you want. You know what I mean? Like you could bring anybody. You can have R-Truth as a serious title contender by this time next year if you booked him right.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like I agree. Name the biggest joke of a character. And you could absolutely...
Garza. I believe Garza is now who that person is for no reason.
Yeah. Oh. But are you telling me that you couldn't rehab, quote unquote, rehab Garza?
Of course
you could. And make him a heavyweight title, the greatest champion of all time? Of course you can. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about the fact that this person was already on the way up and they were clipped. That's what dropped the ball is. You know what I mean?
I agree.
Dropped the ball into the carburetor.
I agree with you.
Remember carburetors?
Carburetors or garbage disposal, right? It was one of the two things they could be called.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
The carburetor is in your sink and it just grinds your up your crap so that you can just dump everything in your sink.
Yeah, which is not a thing anymore, right?
No, they're dangerous. Yeah. But you know what I found in my place was a light switch underneath the sink.
Yeah.
I was like, I think there used to be a carburetor in here.
Why would the switch be underneath, though?
Because that's the safe place to put it. Because you don't want to just accidentally, you don't want a child to come along and flip switch and then stick their hand in there, I think is what happened a bunch in the 80s.
Yeah. The 80s. God, I love the 80s. Speaking of the 80s. Okay, that's a perfect segue.
The beginning of this show.
How much of Cobra Kai have you watched?
Oh, none.
Mark!
It's been a busy time. I told you this. Did I say this on the air last week or just when we were talking?
I think you've mentioned that you started watching on YouTube.
Yes.
Back in 2017.
Is that how long ago that was?
2017, 2018. It was something like that. Yeah, 2018 maybe.
I have a friend who worked on that. Did I tell you that?
Really?
Jason Belleville is one of the...
He works on so much stuff. I see his name all over the place.
Yeah, he's his brother's Ryan Belleville, who you may know as a Toronto stand-up. We used to do a bunch of like circus and cabaret shows.
Oh.
We worked the same circuit as they say. like doing like the cabaret and burlesque stuff. They were the Flying Belvilles. They did a lot of busking type stuff. They did
like
some
the Flying Willendas.
Yeah. I don't know who the Flying Willendas are, but sure.
That's like that's an actual old Daredevil act, I think.
Oh.
Or was that the act that Robin was in DC Comics? Because he came from...
That's right. Yeah, he was an acrobat, right? He was trapeze artist.
Something like that. Yeah, I can't remember the name. Someone out there screaming right now. Anyway, I'm sad you haven't watched this because my timeline on January the 1st, due to the geeky world that I live in, was every second post was all about Cobra Kai. In particular, I was just following along. I think it was Kirk Haviland, one of our patrons, who was just posting. He said, like, I thought episode 4 was great. Episode 5 tops it. And was just going through how great each episode was. This is the Star Wars equivalent, The Mandalorian to Star Wars is Cobra Kai to Karate Kid. It's excellent. Mm-hmm. And listen, Karate Kid took a real dive in the dumps when it came to Karate Kid 3, which, by the way, you're going to have to rewatch if you want to get into season 4 once we get there. But there's a certain way to watch this.
Is Karate Kid 3 the one with Jaden Smith?
No. Okay. Let me lay it down for you, Mark.
Okay. Please,
first of all, if you're going to watch this series, which I highly recommend, dude, and I think you'll love it. We're the perfect age to watch this, okay?
Yeah.
First of all, you go back and you watch the first Karate Kid. Okay. Then watch season 1 mm-hmm. and season 2.
Okay.
After season 2, you must watch Karate Kid 2 for some of the absolutely perfect links and also the best joke in the series.
Okay.
Okay?
Okay.
Then watch season 3. Uh-huh. And then after season 3, I think we're going to have to watch Karate Kid 3. What you don't, and that's the one, it's just another Karate Kid. Uh-huh. And it involves, why am I going to say Krause? It's not Krause. It's, what's the bad sensei? Sensei. I got Krause on my brain because I just did an interview with Richard Krause.
I don't know.
Anyway, that's the one that gets in. He comes back and it gets into his past, blah, blah, blah. Okay. So you don't have to watch, at least not right now. They haven't integrated Hilary Swank at all. She was the new Karate Kid, Karate Kid 4.
Right.
And then Jaden Smith, which is unrelated to my knowledge, was the 2010 version because Will Smith is an executive producer on Cobra Kai.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, so his kid's going to show up sooner or later for sure.
They would have to get into like, it's going to be really tough to get to that point because, I mean, is Hilary Swank going to be interested in doing this? They're going to complete the storyline next season of what they're currently doing. I'm trying not to give anything away here.
Okay, thank you.
But once you watch it, we'll do much like we did with Mandalorian. We'll separate it.
Like Mandalorian, I'm going to watch it so late.
Yeah, so you don't remember things? Man, Mandalorian was good.
No. I mean so late after so long after it came out.
I'm going to rewatch Mandalorian because over the Christmas break, the lady friend has not seen any Star Wars. So we watched A New Hope, Empire Strikes Back, Return of the Jedi. She got through those. She had trouble dealing with like the lack of technology because it was the 70s.
Right.
And like how the computer screens are it looks like cardboard when you go into the Death Star.
Yeah.
Then we watched Force Awakens, and last night we got halfway through The Last Jedi. I'm not going to put her through the prequels, but I watched Force Awakens, and I haven't seen Force Awakens since right before Last Jedi came out.
Which one is Force Awakens? Oh, that's episode
5.
That's the first one with Rey, right?
Sorry, that's episode 7.
4, 5, 7, yeah.
7. It's the first one with Rey.
Right.
There's a lot of good stuff in that series, and they lay the foundation for a beautiful retelling of a continuation of the storyline, and they put so many little building blocks into number one that now watching it makes me so angry. Because even Sharon said at the end of the first one, or we got into the second one, she's like, wait a minute. So Rey is not Luke's daughter.
No.
Well, that means, okay, she's got to be Ben Solo's sister. I'm like, no.
No.
And then Sharon came to, on her own, she's like, Obi-Wan's granddaughter. That's amazing. I just went,
nope.
Because that's, honestly, think about that storyline. Rey, out of all the actors, even John Boyega, who is English, is not allowed to speak with an English accent. Mm-hmm. So why is Rey allowed to speak with the English accent?
Well, because she was an orphan child. She was raised by other people and on another British planet.
But it would have been perfect because Alec Guinness has that accent too, right?
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
It would have been so great. And the like that last, you know, I watched the first one. I'm angry about the building blocks not going through. And then I watched Last Jedi last night and I just sat there going, Rian Johnson, what did you do? Like, what did you do with this series? It was excellent. And you came in and Vince Russo'd this entire storyline.
Yeah, everybody was mad about that one. I didn't mind it as much as I think people minded it. But I had heard so many bad things because I, for the first time, I watched it also over the Christmas break. And I didn't hate it the way other people hated it. I mean, was it good? It was fine. I thought it was fine. And where they end up going, why am I speaking as though I'm afraid to spoil things for people?
No, this is don't spoil Cobra Kai, and I'm trying not to, but this, go for it.
But this is so old, right? Like
it's so old. It's so old.
It's past its expiration date for spoilers. Yeah, because it's Palpatine's. She's Palpatine's granddaughter.
Is that where it went?
That's where it goes. That's where it goes in the third of the new three one, The Rise of Skywalker. And then at the end, she says that, I mean, it kind of doesn't make sense, but she's like, she sees the Force ghosts of Luke and Leia at the very end. Yeah. And she's like, they're like, Rey, what's your last name? And she, I guess, has the decision to say whether or not she's a Palpatine or a Skywalker for some reason.
Right, right.
And she says that she's a Skywalker. And I'm like, okay. So that's her way of renouncing her Palpatine.
I had forgotten that she was the granddaughter of Palpatine. You know,
I didn't mind it. It kind of came out of nowhere. Like it was like there were no seeds planted. There was no reason for me to believe that. But maybe I just assumed that was by design. That like there's also something story-wise, it's not great, but there's something I kind of like about the fact that this Jedi is not from a bloodline. I mean, she is from a bloodline, but when they were like, when they were saying, like in the second one, they were like, nope, she's not. She's not a Skywalker. She's not anybody. She's just an orphan. And I was like, really? That's disappointing, but also kind of cool.
No, maybe I thought it was really disappointing.
It is disappointing, but you know what I think is cool about it is that I think I'd like to see a story with another Jedi that comes from nowhere. The story of not Rey, because Rey's a Palpatine, but like some other, you know, like, you know, Jeff the Jedi, who's like born of nobody, Jeff from nowhere, you know, like he just comes up and he's like, he just happens to be gifted and the Force just came, like his parents are just regular and he just has the Force or the ability to, you know, control the Force or whatever. I thought that was I think that could be a compelling story, that this kid is magic and doesn't know where the magic comes from. Because the magic doesn't come from anywhere. It just chose him somehow.
Well, we are getting, is it Ahsoka? Oh boy, I'm probably butchering that name. Who?
It's Asuka. Her name's Asuka.
It's the Jedi that we see who had been in Clone Wars and Rebels. Oh, yes. And we saw Rosario Dawson. We're getting that storyline, right?
We are. Great.
Yeah,
I've got to look up all the things that are coming out on Disney Plus because I haven't read that list of things yet, and I'm supposed to talk about it on my theme parks podcast.
Oh yeah, you should do that tonight. Is that tonight? Actually. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, tonight. Well, we're recording that tonight, so I should look that up.
Anyhow, Cobra Kai, for anyone that enjoys this podcast, I think is going to full out enjoy Cobra Kai because all the stories pretty much make sense, and you're living in a world where people solve their problems with fighting.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a total wrestling soap opera.
Yeah. Everything about that's good.
And then karate is like the Force, if you could do a Star Wars comparison. And there's a dark and a light side.
Yeah.
And there's some shades of gray.
50 of them, perhaps?
No, okay, no. Stay far away from that. Stay away from that.
Yeah, I don't know, man. It's so refreshing to watch anything that makes sense. And I think that was the laugh I was having when I was watching the Star Wars, like the latest three, the Force Awakens. What's the second one again?
Second one is The Last Jedi, and third one is Rise of Skywalker.
When I watched those three just the other day, it was such a breath of fresh air. And I was like, you know, people think this doesn't make sense. These people think this doesn't make sense.
Compared?
Watch wrestling.
No. You know what I mean? No. That's unfair.
Okay.
Watch WWE.
Yes. Watch Raw specifically.
Yeah.
You're right. But and then I wondered, has the bar just lowered for me? Like, is my tolerance of what makes sense in a story so much lower now because I'm so used to connecting my own dots watching Raw every week that like I was like, no, it's fine. She's Palpatine's granddaughter. It's fine. This is great. The second one was fine. Everybody's like, you're an idiot. Like, oh, yeah? Watch Raw every week. Then tell me who the idiot is. Oh, wait. Still me, because I watched it.
There were those people that liked it. I was not on that side. Okay, so we are going to talk about Raw, but before we do that, Mark, we have to do a little lay a little groundwork here of our own. Okay. Do a little house maintenance of the Sunday Night's Main Event house for our patrons out there.
Okay.
I messaged you and I told you that I was working on the Turnbuckle Trivia Tournament.
Yes.
Somehow, some way, had the biggest brain fart and realized it yesterday. So, we had 33 people that wanted to play the Turnbuckle Trivia Tournament, and originally I was going to do qualifying rounds and get it down to 33 or 32, so it's an easy tournament bracket. And then once it became 33, I'm like, you know what? We'll do 1 3-way, and everyone else is going to play, and we're going to go week to week to week, and it's going to work out. So it hits right at WrestleMania. It just works out really nicely. And then I sat down to put it all together. And I looked at the tournament brackets and I'm like, wait a minute. That means the first round is 16 matches. That goes beyond WrestleMania. I completely forgot that every year I do one round online and then after that it plays on the show. So I then rushed to get this done yesterday, contacted everyone individually that is in the tournament, and everyone was great. Most people replied back really fast. So I got about, if you haven't checked your patron messages, please do right now as you're listening to this and reply with a time for Saturday, because I'm going to sit here for 4 hours on Saturday and quiz each and every person that wants to play the Turnbuckle Trivia Tournament. And we're going to play a new game that is essentially a beat the clock game. Mm-hmm. And then that'll also determine your rankings in the tournament, and the top 16 will start playing as of this Sunday on the show. So, and it'll go 1 versus 16, 2 versus 15, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, in a bracket format. I'll work it all out. I got it all figured out. There's a new format in play. And for those of you that want to hear that new format, Sunday Morning Trivia will be posted on the Patreon tomorrow. You might want to listen to the first hour.
Ooh.
Huh?
Hot tip.
Yeah. Hot tip
for the midweek markout listeners.
Yeah. So anyhow, that's what I wanted to get out there and let people know, let our patrons know that it's coming, and I almost messed stuff up majorly, but I think I fixed it.
You fixed it. That's Saturday the 9th. Everybody's going to
be. Yeah. Saturday the 9th. Everyone's been really good. If you can't make that day, I am looking at, I will work something out with you, but I have to get everyone done by Saturday evening, because on Sunday, the tournament needs to begin on the show.
Right.
So we got to make it happen fast, guys. My apologies. the problem is December. I'm really focused on counting everyone's votes and getting the best and worst in place and doing my own picks and then recording with you guys and then processing it. So that takes up so much time. And the tournament, which kicks off the new year, also has to get done at the same time. So I let it slip, but I think I got it all on track. Mark, I got it all on track. This train is back on the tracks. This locomotive is rolling.
Come on, ride the train and ride it.
Woo, woo.
Is it sad that that's the first train song that came to my head and not like Crazy Train?
That's the sound. No, that's Chain.
That's the sound crazy of the men working on the train.
Train,
I like,
yeah.
Choo-choo.
All right. Great train hits. Mark and Jason in the morning.
Can we please have a morning show where we just do great training?
I would love to. Hey, we've talked about this when we were on the road. Like, just find a town and go in and be the guy to run the radio station and do that morning show with you as my co-host.
Oh, my gosh.
It would be so fun. I mean, crazy hours waking up, but I've done it.
Yeah, I've done it too. Yeah. I'll be the mocha to your Roz.
I can't make fun of Roz because number one, he's incredibly successful.
That's why we can make fun of him. What are you talking about?
but the thing is, he's actually pretty good at what he does. You know, like, sure. I have no problem. And Roz worked his way up. Like, he was a producer of Mad Dog and Billy, and then he flipped on to being a host, and then he managed to nab the ET Canada gig, and somehow, some way, he's grandfathered in a deal to be able to work for Rogers in the morning and then go work for Shaw in the afternoon. The guy has the best job in Canada.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Broadcast-wise.
Yeah, but Mocha's just there.
Well, actually, Mocha, I believe, has hosted on Rogers number one. I mean, you know, he's not quite what Roz has got, but I don't know what he does in his spare time, what other businesses he has. I don't know.
I know. I just, listen, it's just fun to make fun of these guys. If they weren't successful, you can't make fun of people who aren't successful.
Oh, I like punching down. I like punching down.
That's the name of your segment, Punching Down with Jason
Punching Agnew. Down.
Ding, ding.
Oh, my goodness.
You know who sucks? Service workers. Jason's all over grocery store. You know who had it coming? The produce department.
Yeah. You know who I don't like? Nurses. Yeah, screw them. Deal with the pandemic. You signed up for it.
Please, we got to make this a side podcast for you. Punch it down. People are going to be so mad. They're going to think it's genuine. They're going to be so angry about it.
Oh, my goodness.
We could be morning hosts. We could be morning hosts. We're doing it.
What a good bit. We got our first bit, Punching Down.
100%. You know, I'm going to write this down. And I'm going to start a new note in my phone that says Jason and Mark in the mornings and Punching Down.
The really funny thing is, like, if we were to do that bit, and I, you enjoy doing this even more so than I do, is when you do a bit and you commit to the bit, but there are so many people out there that don't understand that you're doing a bit and take you seriously. Actually, I'll even bring this to back to this podcast and the world that we're living in on Sunday night's main event. A great deal of the Law listeners just thought I was a complete and utter asshole, and there was no act involved in shutting down callers. I had someone who is there was one gentleman, remember, I think we did a recap of the last pay-per-view that Mouth and I did, and Greg from the Peg called, Greg from the Peg is listening right now, and Greg has called for many, many years, and someone wrote on Twitter that we embarrassed our only caller that called in, which was Greg, and number two, he wasn't our only caller. We don't embarrass Greg. I genuinely enjoy when he calls in and gives us his thoughts, which are outlandish a lot of the time. I mean, I think anyway, but they're his opinions. But someone was like, I can't believe you embarrassed him. Meanwhile, for the rest of that show, I was actually chatting with Greg on Facebook as I was broadcasting, going through and thanked him for calling. It's like people don't get it sometimes where it's an absolute act and they have no idea. And I think that honestly, not the biggest reason, but one of the reasons why we have 250 patrons and the other guys have over 2,000 is a lot of it's because, I can't stand Agnew. That was a bit, guys. A lot of that was a bit.
Sports entertainment, everybody.
Yeah, that's what we are. We're sports entertainment. Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyhow.
Yeah. People think that it's, I mean, I don't know. People, that's part of the thing, too, that I don't love about doing the best and worst of shows, because it really, like, my inbox fills up with people who have issue with what I'm saying. And I was like, you know what? A lot of what I'm saying is like, but I also just chose this one to make radio.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it's like, do I really hate Dark Side of the Ring? No. It was a great show.
But you brought up valid points with it, though. There's aspects of what you're saying that you could look at. I mean, you when you explained why you chose it for supporting. And you're right. I mean, it doesn't really. It just shows the sleazy side of the industry.
Yeah. And I do believe that it is exploitive.
Sure.
It is. But that doesn't mean that I don't watch it and enjoy it for what it is.
Yeah.
But yes, I mean, the point about it being supporting, I was being like nitpicky about the supporting because sure. people were on me about choosing being the elite. And I was like, oh, all right. I mean, sure, whatever, if you want to be mad about it. But also, like, I don't really have a horse in this race. Like, it's fine.
I do. I think that there's also a certain joy. We might as well call this, you know, the Britt Baker joy, where mm-hmm. we destroyed Britt Baker last year on the Worst Of, and I think justifiably so. I think that she was positioned mm-hmm. in AEW when they started as the hero babyface.
Yeah,
she wasn't ready for it. They put her on commentary one time. She wasn't ready for it and said mm-hmm. nothing. And we're like, why is this woman in as your golden child? Clearly, whoever it was, Kenny or Cody or Tony, whoever it was, saw her potential, mm-hmm. but they gave it to her too fast. She wasn't ready. She was very mm-hmm. nervous. And it is easier to be a heel than it is to be a babyface. Mm-hmm. Now, being a good heel, that's a different story.
Sure.
But Britt's development, to go from last year, from worst female performer to this year, best female performer, I think mm-hmm. on the mic someone did that. It's like, that is super satisfying. And I got Sean, another listener of ours, another patron, sent me a picture of the promo for Dexter Loomis coming up on Wednesday night. Mm-hmm. It sent me a DM on Twitter saying, you know, just trying to get under my skin for it. And I said to him, just like, you know what? I genuinely hope that next year, Dexter Loomis is on my best on the mic list or best gimmick list. Best gimmick. Would that be great if Dexter Loomis goes from worst to best gimmick in a year? I would love that.
Yeah, very possible.
Yeah.
But it's just like I was saying, right? Like anybody could be anything. Like you could rehab R-Truth. I hate the word rehab, but there it is. You could, you know, book R-Truth to be right R-Truth, that character, to be a heavyweight champion by next year. Easily. WrestleMania headliner, you know?
There was a time when they made R-Truth a little bit more of a serious character. He's still wackadoodle, but didn't he get a match with John Cena? Mm-hmm. He needs to. You know what?
His idol.
R-Truth, that's right.
His childhood hero.
You know, if you're going to do a jokey thing with John Cena at WrestleMania, wouldn't R-Truth wrestling against his childhood hero, John Cena, be funny?
It'd be great. I would love
it. And then imagine the vignettes that you could have of little R-Truth, who's a grown man,
yeah.
sitting in front of his television watching John Cena.
Oh, he's older than John Cena in real
yeah,
life.
Yeah, 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 yeah. Like. There's potential there. I'm not even joking. Like, there's absolute
I think so.
Potential there because there's been that running gag for a long time.
But would people be happy? People would be mad about that too,
because then
they'd be like, John Cena's being wasted. It's like, you guys didn't even like John Cena when he was around. Now he's being wasted. Like,
no.
Whatever.
Yeah.
It's a
All
funny
right.
bit. It'll probably be a decent match, I imagine.
Yeah, it could
entertaining,
be. But
sure.
I don't think they would, Mark, they would do a jokey match with those two.
Right,
and actually, considering John Cena's world now, where screw wrestling, I mean, the guy's hosting two shows and he's in movies. Why would he want to do a match? If he wants to come back and do a joke thing?
Absolutely.
That's better.
It's very dangerous. I'm sure the productions that he's working on don't want him to do a match either. Didn't The Rock get hurt that one time?
Yeah, The Rock
and they
did,
like,
really hurt.
Stall production, and they were like, you know how expensive that is? It ruins a lot of stuff when you have to do that.
Yeah, The Rock got hurt in a match with John Cena. The second match with John Cena. And I think it threw... To my knowledge, it was a movie called Hercules. Did it ever come out?
I don't know.
I don't remember
it ever coming out.
I don't remember that.
Maybe they never made it because
of John Cena. Yeah. John Cena hurt The Rock in order to then take his spot.
Oh my gosh. There's the story. We need we need another match with these two.
Actually, John Cena legitimately did not take The Rock's spot, but he did take Batista's spot.
In what?
In Suicide Squad 2. That part was written by James Gunn for Dave Batista. And John Cena is now playing the role.
Batista didn't want to do it, or what?
There was some sort of conflict where he couldn't do it. And it wasn't because he's already Drax. It was some scheduling conflict that he had, and he wasn't able to do it. I'm actually looking forward to Suicide Squad 2 because it's James Gunn. And yeah. he's the guy who took Guardians of the Galaxy, which was, sorry, what's Guardians of the Galaxy? Like, Mouth knew what it was. I knew what it was.
You
knew it, yeah?
I read those comics when I was a little kid.
Really?
I thought Rocket Raccoon was the coolest when I was little. I loved Rocket, yeah. Yeah, so I knew what it was, and I was excited. It's like if they made a Howard the Duck movie, which I mean, I guess
Are they not?
Not as far as I know. Are they making a Howard the Duck movie?
Well, I mean, Seth Green's the voice now, right?
I would love it. I would love it if they made a Howard the Duck movie, but I'm on an island. Like,
well,
if they made
one.
A movie. There is one, yeah, from the 80s.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
that wasn't really like, that's not, he's very cute in that movie. Howard the Duck is not, I have a picture of him on my wall back here, but like he's not cute and roundheaded the way he is in that 80s movie starring Jeffrey Jones as the villain.
I don't think I've ever seen it. I don't really
highly recommend.
Okay.
I've also have the novelization of Howard the Duck. It's on my bookshelf right next to me. I've read it so many times. It's great. I heard an interview with somebody who writes the novelization of movie books. You know what I'm trying to say here?
I don't know, but all I can think about is people want an update on your fan fiction now.
Oh, right.
Right.
There's no update. I've been brainstorming some ideas. I'm not going to turn my camera, but I've got like a little thing here with like some like brainstorming ideas going. I just haven't had a moment to sit down in front of my computer and actually write this stuff. It's been kind of busy with like life stuff over here. But
yeah, I gotcha.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, it's coming. It's definitely coming. And I'm really trying not to make it super smutty, but it's coming out smutty.
And have you decided, right? It's Elias?
It's going to be Elias.
Elias, yeah. Fan fiction.
At least the first, like, what I'm mapping out right now are 3 chapters. And so when I execute this, it's going to be 3 chapters, I think. And it is the protagonist is absolutely Elias.
Do you have any people scheduled in as groupies? Any characters from the wrestling world?
I have a couple of the Sunday Night Main Event patrons.
Oh, really? Michael Vincent?
that are going to come in as fans of Elias.
Okay.
And concert goer type things.
Yeah, yeah.
A bunch of people make cameos for sure. If they were musical in wrestling, they're going to make a cameo more than likely at some point. Some of them are bigger players than others.
Yeah.
And a few other people. I don't want to spoil anything.
Okay, yeah, no spoilers. All right, Mark, we've talked for half an hour about Not Raw. I fear putting in a timestamp in the description, because this timestamp is now for 2 reasons. A bunch of people will be like, got to skip to Raw only. And then a bunch of people are going to be, I know when I'm going to turn this off, at the Raw timestamp.
Right.
Yeah. Let's get into it. Here we go. Mark, do you have your H phone in hand as we start this off?
My H phone?
Your H phone.
Yeah.
Everybody knows about the iPhone, but this is the H phone, brother. I've got Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube. It can also make a phone call. It cannot do TikTok. Did you notice that?
Can't do TikTok, can't do Twitch.
Nope.
Can't do, great.
So Hogan kicks us off.
Dumb.
It was dumb. It was whatever. But what surprised me is it seemed out of place to go from Hogan doing a backstage vignette rolling right into Miz TV.
Yeah.
And if you're going to attract people with Hogan being there, is this what you want them to see next?
I'm going to go on a limb and say no.
Yeah, I feel like a bunch of people, if you were tuning in for Legends, turned it off here.
Yep. And why give us Hogan, like, his whole face? You know what I mean? Like, I thought maybe they were just going to give us his hands.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
And like, a bit of the boa, like, so we don't see him. But we, as soon as we saw him, I go, I wonder if that's all we're going to see of Hogan tonight. Like, what is this? Like, why are we... Why did you blow the Hogan load right in the first 5 minutes of the show?
Yeah, you're right. That would have been more effective if it was a tease. Because once you've seen someone, you've seen them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're not waiting to see them again.
No.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Miz TV, Morrison runs down the legends that are going to be there. And then Miz says, correct, because that's not going away. New Day comes out. They come out. I actually kind of enjoyed the fact that they said that they're hosting the show and it's called New Day Talks. New Day Talks. That's super clever.
Yeah. That was cute. Yeah.
It's cute.
I like that. New Day are great.
Kofi's the host, Xavier being the band leader. Like, this is all really fun. And because Xavier's got the trumpet out there as well. Not the trumpet, yep. Sorry. The trombone out there as well.
Sly trombone.
Yeah. Yeah. They ask Ms. Morrison questions. Ms. gets angry. Morrison answers because Morrison is playing a complete idiot sidekick and continues this role, which is really not great for him. Ms. talks about Xavier bombing on G4. Ms. eventually gets angry. Teddy Long comes out. Sets up Miz and Morrison versus The Undertaker. Pierce comes out to correct him, sets up a tag team match. How did you feel about Teddy Long's performance here?
Imagine if there was a live crowd and this guy said versus The Undertaker and the crowd goes bananas.
Yeah, yeah.
And then he goes, oh, but not actually. They'd be booing for 10 minutes straight after that. Like, you can't say The Undertaker's coming out for a match, get everybody all excited, and then go, psych.
I just felt like Teddy walked out looking a lot older than the last time I saw him. And, I mean, his goatee's doing him no favors. And he then has never been in front of the Thunderdome where there is no receipt, there is no reply to what he's doing. And I think it threw him as a performer. And I really felt like he phoned this thing in and didn't know when to pause and when not to pause. There's no energy here.
Sure. He also maybe just doesn't care.
Also,
I mean, I've seen him on the Talking Shop of Manias.
Yeah.
And he was funny then, but it was also, I think he was funny because his performance was exactly the same.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, exactly the same as tonight, where it's like, this guy doesn't care. He's coming here for a check. But in that context, in the Talking Shop of Mania context, that's funny. Whereas here, that is not the context. So it's kind of confusing, or it's not. It doesn't connect in the same way.
We go to a commercial break here. Miz and Morrison versus The New Day. They wrestle through another commercial break, and then Xavier busts out the trombone in the middle of the match. The New Day ends up winning this. Xavier hits the Shining Wizard and pins Morrison. Okay, it's fine. Sure. I mean,
people, if there was a live crowd, the way they handled this, everybody would have booed The New Day. They would have booed through this
Why?
Entire match.
I don't
because understand. You said it's The Undertaker.
Oh, I see.
And then you go, oh, not going to be The Undertaker. Instead, it'll be our baby faces, and then the baby faces will come out. This will be like Rey Mysterio coming out at 30 when everybody wanted.
Oh, I remember that.
You remember? You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, anyway.
Okay, so they recap Alexis Playground from last week and the whole gasoline angle.
I wrote down in all caps in my notes, 30 minutes in.
Yeah.
And we are getting a recap of last week's combustible cliffhanger. Like, are you serious? Mm-hmm. Like, why? Like, I was saying this last week. Am I to believe that Alexa Bliss has just been on fire this entire time? Like,
well,
what?
Mark, no, we have that explanation here, and it's next because Charlie says what was going through your mind when you held that burning match, and Orton reveals he couldn't do it. He showed Alexa restraint and compassion, and he hates himself for it. He realizes he hates himself, and could you imagine if he directed all that anger to someone else? He doesn't want to talk. He wants to go find legends and talk. And remind them why he is the legend killer. Now, now, at what point can Orton go from being the legend killer to the legend? Because this to me doesn't work anymore. I'm tired.
Yeah. Yeah. I saw this coming a mile away too. Like, there were Legends Night. I was like, oh, Randy Orton's going to be all over this legend killer night. Yeah, man. I mean, it gets worse, right? Like, it's not just this
man,
promo. Like, it gets so much worse during this show.
It does. It just absolutely does.
So let me just get this straight. You left a cliffhanger, and the resolve on it is that nothing happened.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. That was it. Who shot JR?
Oh, nobody.
No, he wasn't shot. He wasn't shot.
He never got shot.
Nope, he wasn't.
Surprise,
he wasn't
nothing
in the
happened.
Chair.
What a bunch of morons. Like, what a stupid, I'm going to swear a bunch. You know what I mean? Like, what a bunch of fucking stupid it's fucking so fucking stupid. What, are you serious? So, okay, listen, I'm not saying that I wanted him to set Alexa Bliss on fire. That's not what I'm saying. What I am saying is why did you set this up and then go, actually, it never happened? What? All right, man. Sure, I guess we're just going to sit and watch this anyway. Like, what? If somebody could explain to me how this is good at all, I'd love it. I'd love it. Also, did you notice Randy Orton's throat? His voice was a little raspy. Sounded like he might have been sick.
Maybe. Maybe he's got the COVID and he spread it to all the legends. And that is a true legend killer is what that is.
Could you imagine? Could you just imagine? Oh, my God.
Oh, shit.
Jesus Christ.
Okay. The WWE Legends Shop promo then hits. They're capitalizing on this. There's a recap.
I can't. I just can't. The show is so bad.
There's a recap of R-Truth losing his title on New Year's Eve on TikTok and Angel Garza winning the title. Then we backstage, we have Garza and Alicia Fox. She's mad he hasn't seen Fleetwood Mac cranberry juice guy on TikTok, and she leaves. Sergeant Slaughter, Tatanka, and Mickey James are standing in the hall, and Garza walks by. He gives Mickey a rose. Let me tell you something. I know firsthand Aldis is going to be mad. Slaughter then Slaughter then grabs a rose, calls him a maggot, and gives the rose to Mickey. This is so lazy. It's just so lazy and such terrible writing.
Yeah. The whole... yes, lazy is the perfect word for this. Like, it's just like, hey, we'll just have a bunch of legends stand around and we'll do the easiest, quickest whatever with them here.
And it's also, like, I really like Angel Garza. Yeah. I've thought the guy, he has so much potential. He's an excellent... He can be. I'm not going to say he's an excellent character. He can be an excellent character. But man, they've made him a comedy character and they've made him R-Truth's foil. He is now at the level of, why am I blanking on it? Ninja.
Akira Tozawa?
He's at the Tozawa level. Like, he is the new Tozawa. Can you believe that? Angel Garza is the new Tozawa.
You know what? Those two would have great matches. Yeah, man. I mean, what is any of this? I feel like that's... you know how many times I wrote, what is any of this in my notes? What is any of this? This segment wasn't great. What they're doing with Garza's not great. He's the Lethal Lothario. But you know what? Again, to my point earlier, they could rehab him. He could still turn around. He could still do great. I just don't know.
We talked about being the writing being lazy, but so is the booking, because the next match came out and I was AJ Styles with Omos versus Elias and Riker. And I thought, wait a minute. I mean, I know I got to watch a lot of wrestling, but didn't I see this last week? So I looked at my notes and 100%. We saw this last week. You and I had the discussion of who the hell are we cheering for in this match? It's two heels. Like, I think that Elias is the baby face in this, right?
Is he? I don't think so.
Is he not?
No, I don't think. Maybe he was last week, but this week I think AJ Styles is the baby face. No?
You're right. You're right. Because the end is the heel trying to use the guitar and the baby face protector stopping that from happening. So AJ and Omos are baby faces.
At least this week they are. But last week, I don't think they were. Last week, I think Elias was supposed to be the baby face.
Because AJ barged in on Elias playing quietly.
Yes. That off. We're trying to listen to Mozart. What did he call it again?
So whatever it was, but
I can't remember what it was. It was so funny, though. He didn't.
So that's, I think we're right. I think that last week, AJ was the heel, and this week Elias is the heel.
Yeah, I think so.
What's happening?
And it doesn't matter heel, babyface, but just choose one. Like, who am I supposed who am I supposed to be rooting for here?
These guys shouldn't be in a feud against one another.
Oh, absolutely.
Like, there's zero interest. Like, zero interest for this.
Well, I mean, is there any interest in Elias doing anything?
No,
like,
I don't think
like
so.
Who do you want to? Who would you see Elias against
it.
Right now?
I'll give you one.
Okay.
And I'm not saying it's good. Okay.
Okay. Yeah.
But with the loss, that is, of the Viking Raiders, and with the loss of Disciple DOA. No, it's not Disciples. What's the other team? The two big guys. The MMA
Forgotten Sons.
No.
Who are you talking about?
The guys about the book.
Authors of Pain.
That's it. AOP. I was DOA. AOP.
You said the book, and I went book authors, Authors of Pain.
There we go. Okay. So with the loss of the Authors of Pain and with the loss of the Viking Raiders or Viking Experience for that week that you did not like them, I think that Elias and Riker should be a tag team. And I'm not saying they're good, but they're big.
They are big.
So I'll put them as the muscly tag team because they are lacking tag teams.
Mm-hmm. They are. We got to come up with a name for these guys. Not now, though.
The Drifters.
The Drifters.
They could come out to a Drifters song.
I liked it when he was the Drifter.
Yeah. That's why his finishing move is called the Drift Away.
Yeah. He's not the Drifter anymore. He's not even, what was his name, full name again?
Oh, man.
Elias, started with an S.
Elias Sampson.
Sampson.
That's Elias Sampson.
Forgot about his whole
full
name.
Full names of characters, like going back and finding full names of characters like that were dropped, like Seamus O'Shaughnessy.
Oh, I didn't remember that.
Yeah. What was Cesaro? Antonio Cesaro.
Antonio Cesaro. That one I remember.
Yeah. A bunch of them. Chad Gable, but that's more recent. Maybe he has that name back. I'm not sure.
I think his name is back. His name is Chad Gable again. He's no longer Shorty G.
Yeah, but they've just ditched a whole bunch. I think Riker is no longer Jackson.
Oh, he's just Riker.
I think so.
Commander Riker.
Yep, that's right. Okay, number one. Next up, we go backstage. Big Show is with Riddle. Riddle wants Big Show to be the big bro. Fun. Orton interrupts. He recaps taking a Big Show the last time he was in the ring. He got hit with the RKO. Orton, for some reason, believes Big Show can no longer wrestle. Big Show says he can. Orton puts his hand on his neck. Big Show sits down. He won't take the bait to do something stupid. And Big Show says he's good with being a legend. And Orton walks away in a huff. So I watched this, Mark.
Yeah.
And combined with the Ric Flair thing later, I was like, well, I completely see what they're doing. Let's let this play out because, of course, Orton's going to get his comeuppance at the end.
Of course he is, Jason. Of course he's going to.
Let's put a pin in this. We'll talk more about it when we get to the Flair promo later.
I hate this show so much. I hate this goddamn show.
Charlotte and Asuka versus Lacey and Peyton. There's an insert promo here where Peyton Royce says Charlotte and Asuka are like Venus and Serena Williams.
Oh, yeah?
Okay.
Sure.
Sure. And then Lacey says she pulls out a trucker hat that says Lacey the Legend. And then Randy Orton comes in and RKOs her.
What?
No, that didn't happen. But she's a legend.
Was I getting a snack? No, where was I? You said it with such a straight face. I was like, where did I go? I don't remember that.
Here's the thing. When she pulled out this hat, and I don't know if you saw this, but do you remember the Will Ferrell sketch on SNL where he just had a hat that said number one?
No.
He said, I think it said, I'm number one. And it was this whole thing. And it was a terrible hat. It was a trucker hat, just like this one Lacey pulls out. And it was a whole sketch about how you put this on and you let everyone know that you're number one. And he's just Will Ferrell straight facing, wearing this, pointing at his hat and going,
I'm number one.
That's what this is. That's what this is. But they did it in a serious manner. Like, it's terrible.
I was about to say, it sounds funny. Anyway.
Then, so this match happened. By the way, do you feel that this tag team is 100%, I mean Lacey and Peyton, is nothing more than a rib on Peyton, who declared on her Twitter she will not be a tag team with anyone else except Billy Kay.
Oh, yeah.
It was the following week she was in this tag team.
Yeah, and now she's in this tag team with Lacey forever. Yeah, I mean, how sad and pathetic if that's the case. Like, you're just going to sacrifice your show. You're going to sacrifice this character. Peyton, you know, Peyton's great. I like Peyton as a character, and Peyton has some real traction on TikTok. Peyton like connects, very clearly connects, and the Iconics were connecting. And sure, if you think it was time that the Iconics needed to go their separate ways, then fine.
It was not time.
I agree with you, but if that is the case for the production, if the writers or whoever was like, time to separate these two, then fine. But then why this? Like, I think that Billy potentially is doing better than Peyton right now, because at least Billy is off trying to do her own thing and doing this comedy angle.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Whereas Peyton is just mired in this tag team that wasn't the tag team that we liked or that people liked. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, whether or not you liked the tag team was a different story altogether. But
Iconics?
Yeah.
Oh,
I found them funny.
Oh, they were so funny. They were so funny. But the problem was they were very funny in NXT, and then it became too much of a good thing, and they were overexposed when they hit WWE, and they didn't have a proper writer for them and someone to reel them in, and they were just left out there to flail like a fish out of water.
Right. And people were down on them because the in-ring stuff wasn't
that was problematic.
Wasn't a huge they weren't Asuka and Kairi Sane, which is there's room for all kinds of things. Anyway, here we go. Peyton and Lacey Evans. Great. Why?
Back to this match we go. So it's at this match, they kept them so strong. I mean, Charlotte had a moonsault on both women before Asuka hit Royce with a Shining Wizard, and that was only a near fall. Then Asuka kicked Royce and Charlotte and hit her with the natural selection, but Evans broke up the cover. I'm like, well, why did you need to do this with these two? Eventually, Ric Flair accidentally tripped Charlotte from the outside. Royce rolls her up for the victory. Charlotte is mad at Ric. They send him away. And then Lacey gives Ric a smooch. Lacey was trying to flirt with Ric Flair the entire time, so I guess she likes older gentlemen. That's the gimmick.
Do you think that they're going to pair Lacey and Ric Flair together?
I mean, I don't know. I don't think so. I think Flair was just there for a week.
So this is just a one-week deal. This is not going to become a reoccurring thing with Lacey Evans where she's like into Ric Flair or some other legend.
Oh man, I'd be down to watch that happen.
Yeah, you'd be down to watch
Ric Flair like a playboy and like this younger
woman
with him. Yeah.
And then what happens to Peyton?
I don't know. She puts on a black glove.
Okay.
You get it?
No, I don't get it.
Oh, because Sean Spears and Peyton are married, and that's what they did when they fumbled with Sean Spears. They gave him a black glove. And then recently he's taken off that black glove.
All right. Great.
Anyway, all right. someone got that joke out there, and thank you for getting it. We have backstage Drew's in the back. Sheamus is excited for him. Sheamus is there with him. Hogan and Jimmy Hart show up. Hogan gives Drew a pep talk, says he's flown the WWE flag high all over the world during these crazy times. I mean, I guess virtually. McIntyre reminds Hogan a lot of himself. And does that mean Sheamus is boning his wife? Or he's boning Sheamus' wife?
Oh my gosh.
Right? Bubba the Love Sponge? Okay, Jimmy Hart annoyingly runs off Sheamus. And then Hogan and McIntyre do a dueling promo with the Hogan, what you gonna do type thing. They do it at the same time. Okay, let's remove a few things before we talk about this. Let's remove the stuff I said about the Hogan boning his best friend's wife, and who cares about that? Let's remove the racist stuff. All right. If you're strictly looking at this, and I know that there's a lot of parameters, and a lot of people aren't going to see by all of this, but if you look at this in the way that WWE was looking at it, as the man who everyone remembers from the 80s, your champion, your glorious champion, trying to help out and give the rub to a new champion, I thought this was very well put together and a good back and forth that did not seem awkward at all. And I really liked what it was on a very superficial level of what they were trying to accomplish.
Cool. I wrote down, man, Hogan is old. That's what I wrote down. This guy is old. Get this guy off TV. He fumbled something. Both him and Jimmy Hart both fumbled the thing. Jimmy Hart jumped his line and then just said it again.
Yeah, I think Jimmy Hart maybe no longer on TV. None of the, none, for what they did, I just thought that it was okay. Not that I want to see Hogan. I know there's all that other garbage, but if you're going to do this, listen, they treated Hogan a hell of a lot better than they treated Ric Flair tonight.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you see Ric Flair all the time, so.
Plus, Ric Flair is not there. Ric Flair is WCW. That's Vince's brain. You know that's Vince's brain. Hogan is WWF, and Ric Flair is still WCW after all these years.
Yeah.
Okay. Next up, Riddle versus Lashley. It's a non-title match. So you know what that means, Mark. It's a non-title match. Riddle can come Riddle's out of this looking strong and with a win.
Yeah, of course.
That doesn't happen. I mean, he does get a win on a roll-up. And Lashley puts him in the Hurt Lock. Riddle taps. He taps to the Hurt Lock. Lashley lets go for no reason. The ref claims he didn't see it, and then Riddle rolls him up. This was, out of all of the garbage we talked about on the show, this was the purest of all that garbage and the worst moment of the show. Because
really?
There was just no reason. There was no reason to do this. This had the potential to help Matt Riddle, putting him over in a non-title match, even if you want Lashley to smash him later.
Yeah.
Nothing.
I'm tired of these non-title matches and then the contender, you know. I just don't. I would rather watch these guys fight for real. You know what I mean? Like have their match with stakes as opposed to this. What stakes am I, like, how am I supposed to be invested into this? Why am I supposed to be invested in this? And then you give me like a roll up finish and then he just taps anyway. So not only am I not invested in this, I'm also not invested in anything going forward with these two guys.
Yeah. I think you brought up a great point to start. I'd rather see these two guys fight for real. Because they're both MMA fighters, man. I would pay for that.
You're right.
Different weight classes, but I am down.
Yeah. The Brawl for All 2000.
Oh, I'm in. Riddle versus Lashley. Okay. Mark Henry is in the back. He's on a knee scooter with Ricochet. He tells Ricochet he sees his heart. Keep it going. Ricochet leaves.
That was really sad. What's up with Mark Henry? He's not.
I don't know. I guess he's got a messed up ankle or something. He's a lot leaner, huh?
Yeah, but also, like, I don't know, man. Like, this was really, like, I couldn't get past, like, seeing Mark Henry like this. The World's Strongest Man is using the scooter.
I mean, listen, he just had surgery on his leg.
Yeah, sure. Okay, that's fine. But the Big Show did an entire promo where he was sitting down the entire, like, a segment where he was sitting down the whole time. You couldn't have done something else, something like that, where Mark Henry was sitting and not, like, not looking. Listen, I want to be clear. If I met Mark Henry and I said to his face that he looked like a feeble old man, I'm sure he would punch my head clean off of my shoulders.
Sure.
But you know what I mean? Like, it's not a good look on television that this guy, you know what I mean? Like, it's like, hey, I spent the rest of the show like Googling, is Mark Henry okay?
Did you find
it? You know, like, no, I didn't see anything.
Oh, okay.
I mean, you know, he seems fine, I guess. But like, I just spent a lot of time worried about Mark Henry now. Like, I like Mark Henry. I don't want to see him on a scooter. It's, oh no. Are you okay, dude? You know, I don't know. Is this the way that is this the best way to film this? I don't know. I don't think so.
Mark Henry declares himself in the Royal Rumble. Henry wants to get away. Orton declares himself in the Royal Rumble. Mark Henry wants to get away from him. He tries to get away. Orton stops him and then says he's giving him a pass and tells him to go away. It's exactly what Mark Henry was trying to do.
Yeah.
I guess now it's on Orton's terms. And Orton berates Henry as he scoots away on his little knee scooter.
I'm so glad that we're seeing our legends, like the legends, this way.
Yeah. We'll have a detailed chat about that after the Flair one. There's an interview with Charlie and MVP and Lashley. They're pissed. Lashley says next time he gets Riddle, he's going to punish him. Mandy comes to the ring. She's attacked by Shayna Baszler on the way. Dana comes in and challenges Shayna. Dana versus Shayna is your match. This is a slow motion match. Shayna quickly gets Dana in the Carafina clutch, but Dana rolls her over and gets the pin while she's still in the choke, and Shayna doesn't release it, so Mandy comes in to break it up. Shayna's on the outside. These two are inside the ring. They stare her down to end the ring. Anything to say here?
Where's Lana? What happened to the Lana thing? They just replaced Lana and Asuka very quickly with Dana and Mandy Rose, and I'm supposed to just buy this. Where's Lana?
Injured. Hurt. She's hurt.
Is she? Oh, she's legit hurt.
I have no idea. I don't really care.
But for the story,
I don't think she's actually hurt.
She's not hurt in real life.
I don't think so.
In
the story, she's hurt.
Yeah, but okay.
Yeah.
This doesn't make sense.
Wait, no. Rick Flair is with Molly Holly and IRS. Randy Orton walks up. IRS and Molly leave.
Molly Holly looks good, hey?
Yeah, she looks great.
I've always had a crush on Molly Holly, truth. I like Molly Holly. She's great.
Orton says Rick was the dirtiest player in the game. Now he's only relevant because his daughter is the only reason he is a champion and is a better performer than he ever was. He calls Rick a pathetic old man. Randy walks off. Rick looks down, seems emotional. Okay, two things here. We didn't touch on the fact that we saw Rick and Charlotte again have a confrontation earlier in the show. They've done that already. They've done that angle. Like, why were they even back together? Well, Charlotte told Rick off a long time ago, and it was too early for them to do that then, but they can't go back on it now. It's really dumb. Number two, okay, so here's the culmination. You brought up a great point, because you said we saw a promo with Big Show sitting down.
Mm-hmm.
Then we saw a promo with Mark Henry on a scooter.
Mm-hmm.
And now we see a promo where one of the greatest professional wrestlers of all time, if not the greatest as an overall character as well, is seen as a beaten and broken down old man.
Yep. Not only seen, Jason, is explicitly without any kind, there's no mincing of words. They literally say that you're a pathetic old man.
Yep.
And he agrees.
Yeah.
Fuck off. Fuck off with this show. Dare you?
They bring back people we grew up with and people we love, and they crap on them. And not only are they, like, if there is, if you're doing this, and I don't even like to justify this, but if you're doing this for way back in the day when they did this with Randy Orton, Destroying the Legends, and they wanted to get Orton over, I really liked that angle.
I
thought it was
too.
So cool.
The original Legend?
This young guy was destroying all the Legends. Man, that was awesome.
Yes.
Remember when Jericho was talking down Roddy Piper and Roddy cut that amazing interview on him and then they put Ricky Steamboat in the ring with him and they had that whole WrestleMania match?
Yes, you still got it.
That was all Jericho, and man, that was a beautiful angle as well.
Yeah, I agree.
WWE brings back these people now, and they just let us know that they're old and we shouldn't love them anymore.
I wish they would just say that.
That's what they did. That was what this was.
You shouldn't love him anymore.
That's it.
Yeah. It sucks. It sucks. Like, imagine, like, where's the dignity?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, where's the dignity every young wrestler, every wrestler who works for this company should look at how they're treating these people. Yeah. And think about that. Like Rey Mysterio re-signing with WWE, like a long deal. Yeah. Like, take a good look at what they're doing. And how much, I understand that, like, maybe the money or whatever, but let's take a good look at how much money Ric Flair, who probably is at the top of that food chain in terms of how much money legends are making.
I guess.
Well, what legend is making more money than Ric Flair?
Well, I don't know. It depends how much you appear and what contract you get signed to, blah, blah, blah. Maybe Hogan, who knows?
Maybe Hogan. But other than Hogan and Flair, who's going to be making? Yeah. Tatanka's not going to be making that kind of money. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Call Boogeyman a legend is mind-blowing.
Yes, it is.
So, you know. So think about how much money these guys are making. Is it really worth it? Like, are they making that much money? That's my question. I have no answer. That's just my question. Because I don't know how much money they're making, but is it worth it? To be ridiculed that way and could you imagine Bret Hart doing this?
Oh, absolutely I could.
You could imagine Bret Hart coming in and coming around and being spoken to this way. Bret Hart, who cares so much about respect all the time and his dignity and his legacy and his, you know, like, would he...
I actually could, man.
Really? You think so?
Yeah, I don't know. I couldn't see I couldn't see Jericho doing this. I couldn't see CM Punk doing this. But I'm sad to say I could see Bret Hart doing this.
I disagree. I don't think Bret would do it. I don't think Bret would come and agree to do, like, he might come and agree to do a one-time thing. Yeah. And then when he's treated this way, he just won't come back.
Yeah. Well, unlike
Ric Flair.
Keeps,
you know what I mean?
Back. Like, whipping
who
boy.
Keeps coming back. Yeah.
Yeah.
Last time we saw Bret Hart was in AEW.
It was presenting the title because I think they wanted Rick, right? And they couldn't get Rick to do that. But I mean, I don't want to continue to make comparisons, but do you remember that time when Sting came out and Cody took a shit in his mouth?
What?
No, I mean the difference between treating Sting one way in AEW versus treating the legends a different way here.
Yes. Not,
I wish there was video for those of you that could, Mark trying to remember that actually happening.
Well, I was trying to think of like when Cody and Sting were in WWE together, and I was like, did they overlap? I don't remember that happening.
But then
I was like, does Jason have like a subscription to like Cody's OnlyFans that I don't know about?
I mean, AEW, I was trying to think of the way that they use legends, and Sting is one way, and they've used Taz, and they've used Jake, and all of them are held in very high regard. Now, the exception to the rule there...
And Arn Anderson?
Oh, yeah, Arn Anderson as well. And Tully Blanchard? Now, the exception, I guess, would be the Rock and Roll Express, who were taken out by FTR.
Yeah, but those guys want to wrestle, it seems like. So the fact that they got taken out, I think, is in line with what they want and how they want to be perceived.
But they were still, as far as the words went there, they were still referred to as legends, and then they were beaten down, right? Weren't they?
Yeah.
They might have been called old men as well. They might have called them old men.
But they were also fighting old men. Like these guys are trying to have matches. You know, these like the, you know, you saw them. They were also in what am I blanking on?
NWA. Yeah, yeah.
They were doing matches. So like, you know, I was fine with that. I didn't think that was disrespectful. I didn't feel sorry for them when that happened. Watching Legends Night last night, I felt sorry for all of these people. I felt sorry for Mark Henry. I felt sorry for Ric Flair. I felt sorry for almost all of them. Is that good? Is that how you want legends to be? You want me to pity these people?
It's the same thing that the WWE has this continual storyline that if they're going to fire someone from the company, that, oh my God, how are they going to support their family? They're going to be broke. That,
yeah.
You know how often that storyline comes up? Oh, I can't lose my job. Yeah, you can. Number one, you've made a lot of money if you're on TV with this company. Number two, there is places where you can go.
Yeah. Listen, if nothing else, you can make a lot of money. Well, before pre-COVID times, you can make a lot of money doing conventions.
Yeah.
Anyway.
But now you get COVID, like Mick Foley, which is very sad.
I know. I hope he seems like he's doing okay, though. I watched
Mick Foley, by the way. We didn't get a chance to talk about this on the show. If you hadn't heard, Mick Foley got COVID. I think he is doing okay. I'll talk to Meltzer about it on the weekend. But Mick Foley had to be isolated for Christmas from his family.
Yeah.
For Mick Foley, that's... there's no one that would hit harder in the wrestling industry than Mick Foley.
I know. Loves his family and loves Christmas.
Yeah.
At least he's healthy.
Yeah.
Or he seems, you know what I mean? Like at least in that address, that video he put out, he seemed like he had a lot of energy and he didn't seem that was hopeful. That's good. I was happy to see that he was doing that well, you know?
All right, let's get through this. Keith Lee and Matt Riddle are backstage. Riddle's New Year, New
Literally Champ. The slogan of this Keith, fucking show.
Keith Lee let's says, thanks. Then there's, Mark, when Randy Orton, I had forgotten that Randy Orton had a match, and we had seen so much Randy Orton on this show. I was like, are you kidding me? He's coming out to the ring now? What's he going to do, cut a promo? Well, it turns out he's having a match with Jeff Hardy. And I just, like, why is this match on television?
What year is it?
Like, it's Orton versus Jeff Hardy, and it ends with Hardy trying a twist of fate and Orton converting it to an RKO. Who cares? And then, if nothing else, should Orton not have gotten punched in the face by the Big Show and then had Ric Flair low blow him here?
Anything.
Mark Henry run over him with the scooter? Like,
the slowest running over of him. He was so slow on that scooter.
There's nothing. There's nothing. He's just walking around and insulting old men, and he's not the young punk anymore. Now he's just a jerk, and it plays out to his character like he just has no respect for the industry that has given him his life.
Yeah. He's got gray in his beard. He's got gray in his beard. And he's... I'd hate it too.
I hate the Orton character. I don't understand why he's constantly relied upon. Yeah. Lucha House Party bumps into Melina in the hallway. They ask if she's there for the Lucha Legends night. She says she starts to chant Lucha. That's it. And they walk away. Okay. The only good thing happens now. Second, what was this? The second good? Did I say there was something else that was good? No, I said something else was really bad.
Okay.
Cedric and Shelton versus Lucha House Party, non-title. They really speed through this, and it's really the only... The main event had storyline progression, but not in a great way. This had it very... It was very good. The match has purpose. We continue to see Cedric try to take the lead. This only went about 2 minutes. He tags himself into the match. Shelton is pissed. He re-tags himself in. The two push and shove each other. The Lucha House Party sneak the victory. This is the proper way. Unlike Matt Riddle, this is the proper way to have a babyface, lower-tier tag team sneak a victory because it's not about them. Yeah. It's not about them at all. This is all about Cedric Alexander breaking away from the Hurt Business. MVP's on commentary. He is pissed. MVP gets in between these two guys. They're pushing and shoving. He tells them they should be embarrassed because he is. Cedric walks away. Shelton starts to run after him from behind, but MVP holds him back. This is great.
Yeah, it's great. Roll-up finish for the Hurt Business. I almost call them the Hurt Locker. for a Hurt Locker all around.
By Catherine Bam Bam Bigelow, director.
Pretty good. That's pretty good.
film joke.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know, man. Look at it. Okay, so if this is how you're going to do this, that's fine. That's great.
It's great.
Then why also the roll-up in the Lashley match? These guys are in this.
That was
garbage. Not only are they this is the Hall of Mirrors that the WWE is putting up for themselves.
Yeah.
Not only did this happen twice on the same show, it happened twice to the same faction.
You're right. I guess I think that was absolutely intentional.
How much was it? Okay. Really?
Yeah. I'm not saying it's a good thing.
That doesn't make any sense to me.
All right. I think every segment, you've ended every segment with, that doesn't make sense to me.
It doesn't. Does it make sense?
I know.
Hey, I stopped writing it down because nothing makes sense.
Yeah, nothing makes sense. No. Well, this one does. I mean, this that finish made sense. Okay?
Sure. We got one to a million.
Nikki Cross and Tori Wilson are hanging out in the back because you know those two have a ton in common. Angel tries to give Tori his rose. Tori shoots him down. Tori has invited Cardi B, Kylie Jenner, and Ariana Grande to the show, and they are down the hall. Cardi B would definitely like the rose, she says. So Angel, like an idiot, goes into the dressing room and walks into Boogeyman. There's no music. Did you notice this?
No.
Boogeyman just gets up from behind the desk. His music doesn't hit. The lights kick in, but the music don't. Like, they miss the cue.
Right.
Angel runs away like an idiot. Truth grabs him in the hall to win his title back. Ron Simmons walks up, says, damn, this was garbage.
This Ron Simmons saying damn business, I have not been into this for years.
It's so lowest common denominator. And I think a certain sect of the wrestling population that would not be the sect that would be subscribing to a service like ours would see him and laugh every time this happened. A real low bar.
I just, comedically, if I may, the timing is terrible.
Oh, yeah.
It's too long a pause. And it's been too long a pause for years, and the pause is only getting longer.
That's the joke.
But I don't think that is the joke. I think the joke is Ron Simmons coming in and quickly going, damn,
no,
as a fast
punchline. That's their joke. That's their joke, Mark. Their joke is to make it longer and longer.
I don't get that. How is that funny? Like, what's funny about that?
That's in their opinion. Listen, what's funny about a lot of stuff they do? I can look at it and see what their intention is and just go, oh, that's a bad choice. And this is a bad choice.
You know who could pull, and I want to be clear, I'm not belittling Ron Simmons here. You know who could pull off a pause like that? The Rock.
Booker T.
Booker T.
Actually, say, remember when, what they're doing is, remember when Booker T would leave the frame and run back and say, sucka?
Yes.
They're doing that with Ron Simmons now.
Yes. And you know what? Booker T can't do it as well as The Rock either.
No,
because The Rock
right,
would take these
right.
long ass pauses. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And there were so, I mean, it was, you could drive a truck through this pause.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And he would say his punchline and everybody go crazy. This is, these people are not The Rock.
No.
You know what I mean? The Rock is
no
The
one
Rock.
Is.
No one is. The Rock is very special.
He's very special.
So to make Booker T do it, Booker T, I think, in my opinion, barely got away with that sucka business.
Sure.
And he wasn't on screen for it. He would walk away and leave these other people to hold the
on.
Ball.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then he would come back in. And if they were just silent, they usually didn't have the presence or charisma to pull off that silence. Ron Simmons, God bless you, doesn't have that ability to me to pull off that long pause. It looks like he's trying not to say damn the entire time.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's just making faces as opposed to having some organic real thing going on. Just listen, I like Ron Simmons coming in and saying damn. I want to be clear. I like that. Just say it faster. Like when they pan up, it would be so much funnier if all that happened and they pan at a reasonable pace to Ron Simmons, and as soon as the camera's on him, he goes, damn, and then we're gone, because yeah. it would be a surprise. Yeah. But it says damn on his shirt. You know what I mean? I know what he's going to say. Just say it. You've already been there. It'd almost be funnier if they went up to him and he just looked at the camera and pointed at his shirt. Cut away. You know, like anything. But the long pause doesn't work for me, and it's boring. It's boring, and it takes the steam out of what's going on. And there wasn't that much steam to begin with, no. So, you know.
Okay, we made it to the main event. Wow, this is a long edition of our show, Mark.
Yeah, there's a lot to complain about.
McIntyre versus Keith Lee. McIntyre comes out. Lee comes mm-hmm. out, and the stage is lined with all the legends that were on the show. We eventually see a cutback to the legends. They've been given folding chairs. Why not have like a little like theater area for them? You know how bad it looked with them on these shitty folding chairs?
I hated this.
Lee gets powerbombed through the announce table. Lee hits this the Spanish fly off the top with two guys of this size was pretty great.
Yeah.
Pretty great.
There's no denying the talent of these people.
Yeah, both of these guys have the ability to be. I'd love to see them, you know, have a match in, I don't know, wherever else, just not in WWE, no rules, you know, not where we don't have to watch Keith Lee working like John Tenta. Yeah. Not to say that he always does, because he did get the Spanish fly in.
He gets Spanish fly.
Lee goes for a spirit bomb. Drew slips out. Lee misses a clothesline and gets caught with the claymore. So Drew pins him. Drew helps him up. He grabs a mic. It looks like they're going to do a respect angle here before Drew can really say anything. Goldberg comes out. Drew extends his hand. Goldberg denies it. Goldberg has a cut on his head. I bet he did the stupid locker thing again and knocked himself silly because, Mark, watching this, Goldberg then talks right through the piped-in fake Goldberg chants.
Yes.
He says, Drew has size, speed, athleticism, but he doesn't have respect. When you look at the legends, you think you're better than all of them in their prime, but you're wrong, and that's where he steps in. Goldberg then says, don't think that I'm coming out here and that I'm demanding anything. Don't think that I'm a threat. No, sir, I'm coming out here to challenge you at the Royal Rumble. That's what he said. I wrote it down. I tried to get it verbatim because I sat there and I'm like, you botched everything. Did I misunderstand, Mark? Did I misunderstand what Goldberg was saying?
No, you didn't. I don't think you did. I think two things happened here. I think that Goldberg fumbled everything he said.
Okay.
And I think that giving Goldberg any of this dialogue was a fumble. Did Drew say any of those things during this entire show? Did I fall asleep?
Okay, so
Was Drew disrespectful to the legends ever?
I feel like Goldberg making this up in his head and saying this is their way, WWE's way, of immediately spinning Goldberg into a heel. So people will say what you just did, but Drew never said that. Why is Goldberg saying he did?
No, yeah, I see what you're saying, but I don't. That's not good, because this company does this kind of thing all the time, where they just go, "You said this," and then we go, "They never said that." And then going forward, the company acts like they did say it. So if anything, I suspect that Drew McIntyre is going heel.
No.
I'm not saying that's what's happening, but I'm saying that if we go by the pattern that this company has done, where declare something that never happened, and then we're like, but that never happened. And then next week, that is now the new truth, that he did in fact say that. I was very confused. I was like, was this promo originally written for Randy Orton?
You know what? Like, You're right. You're absolutely right. Okay, you're right on a whole bunch of things here, because if Goldberg came out and challenged Orton, that's a perfect storyline.
So Orton should be champion right now.
Even if Orton's not champion, like if Goldberg stormed out at the end of the Orton match and said, "You've turned down all these guys, try me, asshole," that's a perfect storyline.
That makes sense.
Makes sense for the whole show makes sense if Goldberg comes out and defends. I mean, it's weird that he's defending Big Show, but like guys like Flair, sure, Flair can't go anymore. Sure. Okay, now part number two that I think you make absolute sense with as well is you very well may be right about Drew turning heel, because his next line is he doesn't want the challenge, and he says fighting you would be like fighting my own dad. That's a heel line negating Goldberg, who is in the ring last year.
Yep.
Man, what?
And the most babyface thing you could do is to accept the challenge and be like, "I accept your challenge, legend." You know what I mean? Like, anyway, yeah, it doesn't. Yeah. I think he's turning heel, man. I mean, who knows? Who knows? This company can't keep consistency within the same show, within the same segment. So who knows?
On top of that, Goldberg then pushes Drew. Like, I couldn't tell if this was not planned, and Drew falls on his ass. Your champion. Your champion fell on his ass. And then he gets up, and he kind of gets in Goldberg's face and maybe headbutts him, but not really. Not like Sicilian Kiss headbutts him or anything like that. But he just kind of grounds nose to nose. But like, why is heel or babyface, whatever they're doing, if this was not planned, which it may not have been, bad on Goldberg for pushing him that hard and pushing him down, because Drew wouldn't have been ready for it if it wasn't in the script. Mm-hmm. And if it was planned, what the hell are you thinking, having your champion fall like that?
So he gets up. I want to say that the stream I was watching ended when he hit the ground.
He did get up.
I was like, is this another cliffhanger ending from this dumb company? Because he got pushed to the ground. He landed on his butt. I saw him land on his butt and look up at Goldberg, and then it was done. And I was suddenly watching Modern Family, I think, came on. Or Chrisley knows, but I was watching something. Something showed up, like another show started. Like it's not like my stream died. The show stopped and another show started.
Well, the Canadian feed had Drew getting back up.
I was watching an American channel for sure, because all the commercials were American.
Okay, let's look at we'll spend a lot of time on Sunday talking about the ramifications of this, because this throws everything that I thought was happening for WrestleMania out of whack. I was totally under the impression that Goldberg was making his return to see the match against Roman Reigns that we didn't see last year, that Paul Heyman loves Goldberg. Paul Heyman wants that match. And along with that, we have seen Roman Reigns specifically integrate the guillotine choke, which is a perfect defense for the spear. It makes so much sense, Mark. And also, it makes sense to the point where I don't have a problem with the head of the table destroying and choking out Goldberg.
Yeah,
it's great.
That. That's perfect. That makes a lot of sense.
What the hell is he doing here?
hear me out. I think he's going to beat Drew for the title. He's going to win it.
Oh, my God.
And then he's going to win the Royal Rumble. How about that? He's going to do both. He's going to do everything we're saying. He's going to beat Drew, win the title, win the Royal Rumble, and then challenge Roman as the champion. And then that's going to be their way of unifying these belts.
I don't think that.
I'm just trying to think as wild as possible because this company makes wild moves.
I now think that we may get Goldberg losing to McIntyre, and your new program for Mania is McIntyre and Sheamus because they think that's the build of the Friends is going to work. Mm-hmm. Daniel Bryan wins the Royal Rumble, and which he has been desperately trying to do for years and was thwarted that year by Roman Reigns, and Daniel Bryan and Roman Reigns. And those are two very weak main events for WrestleMania.
Yeah. Yeah.
Man, that sucks.
Well, I mean, Daniel Bryan, Roman Reigns might be a very good match. I think that'll be a great match.
I feel like what we have already put in place due to circumstance last year of Roman Reigns being seen as running away from Goldberg makes for a much more compelling storyline. Yeah. Although Roman would play out as the babyface there, I guess, if they were to do that.
I guess.
Goldberg returns.
You could do anything.
And is like, you ran away from me. I don't know. Anyway, this is weird. I don't like it. I have no interest in Goldberg and Drew. I have a ton of interest in Goldberg and Heyman. And man, Mouth is hosting on Sunday. I'm just going to get ready to take my headphones off and just let him go. He despises Goldberg.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the show sucked, man.
This was real bad.
Just when you think this can't get any worse, like it just gets worse and worse.
It's at the point where it's like this one was, you know how we talk about, again, I won't even say AEW, but like we talk about Star Wars and Cobra Kai, where Mandalorian and Cobra Kai, where they're rewarding you for being a fan and buying into their universe. And AEW, they do the same thing. You just took a crap on us. Like you're just, you're not rewarding us. You're making us question why we watch this. There's no, look, I watched, hey, WWE, I supported you last year when I bought your pay-per-view to see Roman Reigns versus Goldberg and I didn't get it. Yeah. So this year you're not going to give it to me again. Okay. All right, we'll just leave that storyline wide open.
Forget about us. Forget about crapping on us. They're crapping on their own talent.
Oh, yeah.
They're crapping on the legends. Yeah. Can I underline that word, legends? The people who built this company, who helped make this company something that people wanted to watch. And this is the way you're treating these performers. That's awful. That's so awful. I hope these people all got paid really well for that show last night. I hope they got a lot of money for that, because at least then they could go home and count their stacks, you know. I really hope that they got a lot of money for that.
All right, Mark, we're gonna wrap up. We did a long one today. Lots to listen. I will throw this out there. If you're still listening right now and you think we complain too much, I really do invite you to DM me a note for the weekend, and I'll read it on the show, because I don't mean to be overly complainy. I know that's not a word, but I don't mean to be overly negative.
Yeah,
but I just like, it makes me sad and it makes me kind of despondent to the product, and maybe I'm just biased to not like this stuff, but I want to. I really want to like this. And it's not just because it's not the way that I thought it was going to go. It's also, you dropped the breadcrumbs for me. So you know, you put the dots on the wall and then you opted to just put a circle around them as opposed to connecting them.
Yeah. Oh, that's an understatement.
Well, a circle that's not connected either.
Yeah. You put dots on a wall, left the house, crossed the street, and put five circles in five different houses is what you did.
But that, so anyway, so listen, I really would like to hear another side of this. If you can just tell me, if this is good, if tell me how,
tell me if this is good. Like,
if you can explain, I'd like someone to explain to me, what the justification is. If somehow, I'm having a hard time explaining this myself. If somehow Drew versus Goldberg to you is better for and rushed at Royal Rumble than Reigns and Goldberg in what to me felt like a potential year-long storyline.
Yeah.
I just want to know if there's someone out there that does like this better.
I dare you. I dare you to try to come up with
dare. I don't want to say dare. This isn't and I will read this unbiased.
But it doesn't make any listen. It doesn't listen. You can make an argument. If you want to say that Goldberg versus Drew McIntyre is an engaging matchup for you, you can absolutely make that argument. Is it interesting? Sure, it could be interesting. Why not? What I'm saying is, in the context of this show and what happened on this show, for these two to have an altercation at the end of the show makes no fucking sense at all, not one bit. Goldberg came out and accused Drew of stuff, and I wrote down in my notes, did Drew say those things? Did I fall asleep? Did he say he was better than these people? That's what I wrote.
Maybe exactly Drew just thought, maybe Goldberg, who hit his head a few times, missed his cue to come out after the Randy Orton match and decided to just cut his promo on Randy Orton on Drew McIntyre.
It doesn't make sense, right?
Right?
Like, I mean, listen, I'm going to say it 5 billion times. If he had said that to Randy Orton.
Oh, yeah.
Everything's fine.
Yeah.
This all is fine. Everything's fine. I'm interested to see it. You want to whatever, Randy Orton versus Goldberg? Great. Makes sense to me. Now, whether or not anybody wants to see that matchup, different story altogether. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about whether or not Goldberg and Orton or Goldberg and Roman Reigns or Goldberg and Drew McIntyre is a good matchup that I want to see. That's irrelevant at this point. What I'm talking about is what happens in this show doesn't make sense, because I sat there going, he never said those things. Did I leave? Where did I go? What happened? He never said any of those things. And it's nice to hear that he stood up, but what I was watching is he got shoved to the ground. He landed on his butt. He looked up at Goldberg. They were off the air. That's what I saw. And I was baffled. It's like, what is this? What is this? Also, if Alexa Bliss isn't on fire, speaking of cliffhangers, where is she?
Well, I mean, Orton did say he didn't light her on fire.
That's right. Right. He didn't light her on fire.
Right.
This reminds me of, did I tell you about this, that I went to go see the Lord of the Rings musical in Toronto?
I've seen it. I saw it. When they slammed, they slammed 13 hours of movie into a 2.5 hour musical.
Oh. It was down to 2.5 hours when you saw it. I saw it during previews when they were still working on it. I love seeing things during previews when they're figuring stuff out. And the show was like a hair over 4 hours.
Oh, it was shorter than that when I saw it, but I was still
too long.
Baffled at how you can slam 12 hours or more into a 3 hour musical.
And you know what's even more baffling is that nothing happens in that musical. Like, there was a moment in the show, and I'm not super familiar with Lord of the Rings, so forgive me, but there's a moment where they were all climbing a ladder. Do you remember this? So, like, this is the staging. A trapdoor opens on the stage, and a ladder comes up out of it and goes up to the top of the grid. So, ladder from the underneath the floor comes up and goes way above the rafters that you can see, that the audience can see. The cast then gets on this ladder and climbs it, and the ladder moves like a conveyor belt. So they're all sort of climbing a ladder in place, super cool looking. And then they get up to like a cloud city or something, like this, like this land in the sky, and they get off the ladder. And this sequence, while it did look nice, lasted, without exaggeration, maybe 3-4 minutes, which is an eternity on stage to sit there and watch these people not talk while they climb a ladder. They get off the ladder. And what do you think happens? You think they go into battle? You think they sing a song? You think some sort of, like, there's a king at the top that they get information from?
I don't remember this, but I'd like to interject with my thought process. Do they then climb down the ladder?
No.
Oh,
no.
Damn.
No. You know what they do?
No.
They go to sleep. Not a word of exaggeration, not a word of a lie. They get off this ladder that I watched them climb from, let's just say, 3 minutes to be generous, not 4 or 5 minutes, which it probably actually was. They get off this ladder and they go, whew, we're tired. And then they all go to sleep, blackout. And I sat in the sixth row of this show and went, the fuck? The fuck did I just see? You went to sleep now? You all that build to go to sleep. Great. Great. And that's how I feel right now watching this show. The same feeling, man. Like, all this to go, okay. What? The cliffhanger to nowhere.
Mark, we got to go. Okay. I need to go to sleep after this.
Okay. Well, fair enough. It is 1 p.m. I got stuff to do.
All right, buddy.
Oh, should I not have told the audience when we're recording this? Is it a secret?
No, it's no secret. They know that we do this the next day.
You're right. Fair enough.
All right. Well, Mouth is with me on Sunday. The NXT New Year's Evil show will be up bright and early on Thursday morning. I'm talking like I'm waking up and I'm putting it right up. They are going to record it right after the show. Mm-hmm. Mouth and Joe will be up on Thursday morning. I'll put that one up. And then Mouth and I are on for the weekend show. So we've got all your coverage. Hey, Wednesday night's going to be great, guys. It's looking like a really fun night for back and forth. So never mind this garbage that we watched tonight. I still invite someone to DM me. If they can tell me why this is a good idea, putting Goldberg and Drew on to Royal Rumble. And that is where we shall leave it today. Mark, thank you for chatting with me for a couple hours about
nice to
this
see you,
nonsense.
Buddy.
Nice to see
nice
you
to
as
see
well.
You. Good okay. to see you. We got time for one more thing.
What's that?
Jason, I love you.
All right, now for the record, Mark actually says that to me each and every week, and it's an inside joke on something that happened on my late night talk show, The Late Shift, which I was doing when the pandemic started. So if you think it's weird, you just didn't get the inside joke. But if you'd like to get all of the inside jokes, then please just sign up and get this show, plus an NXT review, plus an AEW review, plus my trivia show, which this week was loaded with more Cobra Kai. You get it all at patreon.com/snmeradio, and it is less than a dollar. Oh, and I will throw it out there. If you sign up for the Turnbuckle Trivia level, I'll also pop a Sunday night's main event COVID face mask in the mail for you free of charge. So there you go. Sign on up at patreon.com/snmeradio.